turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 21. In chapter 20, God, we have the Ten Commandments. Now in chapters 21 through 23, God tells Moses how to apply these Ten Commandments to specific situations. God gave these regulations to Moses so that he could govern the people, so that they would be blessed in the land that he had promised to bring them to. As you read through chapters 21 through 23, you find all kinds of laws. Again, they all have their basis in the Ten Commandments. There are statutes concerning slaves. There are statutes of capital offense and concerning physical injury, concerning the neglect of other people's property, thieves, property damage, even safe deposits, borrowing, lending, sexual seduction, idolatrous customs, care of the needy, reverence, legal justice, laws concerning the various Sabbaths and the annual festivals. And it all reveals that God's authority, God's government, God's claim goes into all areas of life. Nothing is exempt. God is to be in every area of our life. In other words, it's all about God. I'd like to read the first six verses. We've preached from these verses several times. Much of what we say will be a repeat. But in Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6, you have a regulation concerning a particular kind of slavery. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Again, this is a regulation concerning slavery. There were many such regulations in the Old Testament. They were all given to control this issue of slavery, to confine it, to restrict it within very narrow bounds. And what we have here is one of those regulations. Now, in the Old Testament, of course, there were several ways that a person could become a slave. We're not going to go into all of that, but a person could become a slave to pay off debts. By serving for a period of time, his debts could be repaid to the person that he owed the money to, and then he would be free of obligation. Poor people could seek refuge by becoming a servant or a slave. In exchange, they would receive food, they would receive clothing, they would receive housing. Thieves could make restitution by a period of service. And of course, one could become a slave through war, being captured, all sorts of ways. But in our text, we see that this servitude was limited by law to a maximum of 6 years. And then in the seventh year, the slave was permitted to go free. But there was an exception to this law. And the exception was that the slave, if he did not want to leave his master, did not want to leave his master's house, the servant could decide to become a permanent slave. Not to serve another 6 years and given the opportunity again, but he could either leave or he could become a permanent slave. And it was his responsibility to openly declare his desire to his master. So in this message, we want to look at this exception, make application, of course, to you and I, as we are to be a willing servant of the Lord. The subject of the message is an open proclamation with regard to the rest of our lives. An open proclamation with regard to the rest of our lives. Consider the servant in these verses. This man or this servant had served the Lord or served his master for 6 years. For 6 years. Seventh year is come, and now by law, he could leave his place of servitude, and he could live the rest of his life as he pleased. Or he could stay with his master and serve his master for the rest of his life. But at the end of 6 years, we read there in verse 3 that if he became a servant by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he and his wife together became servants, then his wife shall go out with him. We read in verse 4 that if he became a servant by himself, but during that 6 years, he was married and he had children, he shall go out by himself. In other words, he'd leave his wife and his children. But regardless of his state, at the end of 6 years, he was faced with a life choice. He is brought to a place in his life, and I believe we all are, many, many times. But he was brought to a place in his life where he must state his intent. Was he going to stay? Or was he going to leave? He could stay with his master, live the rest of his life under the government of his master. Or he could go free, live his life as he pleased. He either had to stay or he had to leave. He couldn't do both. He couldn't bounce back and forth. Well, what if I go away for a few days and I'll come back for a few days and just do that the rest of my life? Couldn't do that. He had to either stay or leave. It basically came down to this. He would live the rest of his life for self, or he would live the rest of his life for his master. It was one or the other. You can't bounce back and forth depending on your circumstances and your feelings. It's one or the other. He would either live his life separate and apart from his master, or he would live the rest of his life subject to the authority of his master. No room for indecision. When it came time for when the 6 years was up, he couldn't say, "I really don't know what I want to do." It's one or the other. One or the other. He had to make this decision. No room for indecision. No room for indifference. After 6 years, it was time. I think it's been time for a long time. But after 6 years, it was time. What's it going to be? Live the rest of your life with the master, or live the rest of your life apart from the master? What's it going to be? After 6 years, this servant is brought to the place where he must declare one or the other. My master or my own life. After 6 years, this servant is brought to the place where he must declare what he deems best for his life. Do you think this servant, it came down to this, do you think it's best for you to live apart from the master? Return to your own life? Live life as you please? Or do you think it'll be best for you to serve the master? We usually do what we think is best for us. And let me tell you, it's always best for you to serve the Lord. But after 6 years, he had to make this declaration. He had to declare after 6 years what matters to him most. Was it life apart from the master? Or was it life under the authority of the master? Which matters most to this individual? He must declare now who he will identify with for the rest of his life. This isn't just a decision what I'm going to do today or tomorrow or even for the next year. This is something that was for the rest of his life. It would either be with the master or apart. And again, God's people have been faced with that over and over and over and over many, many, many times. It is time, after 6 years, for the servant to declare what his life will be. And after 6 years, if a servant wanted to stay with his master, he was to make this known to his master. And we read in verse 5 that he was to do so plainly, in a very obvious way. There was to be no confusion in this matter. And then the servant or the master would bring the servant before the judges. And as the master and the servant walked together to face the judges, look at this servant. He's decided to live the rest of his life under the government of his master. And the servant and the master are walking together to declare their the decision to the judge. And as you look at that servant, is he sad? Is he despondent? Is he down in the dumps? No, he was to plainly declare. He's happy. He's content. He's filled with conviction. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Not this is what I'm going to do until I feel like doing something else. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. He's brought to the judges. And the servant, no doubt, would give very clear and explicit testimony. I want to serve this, my master, for the rest of my life. And though today I can go free, I will not. I will not go free. You see that at the last part of verse 3. But I will continue to live with my master. And I understand that this is for the rest of my life. And as he spoke, I don't believe that, again, he was to plainly declare this. There was any reluctance. There wasn't any hesitation, any timidness. But he boldly declared his intention. For the rest of my life, I will serve this man, my master. That was his intention. Once this was done, there was a ceremony that they were to perform to make it official. As a public declaration and as a sign of the servant's commitment to his master and his master's house, the servant is brought to the doorpost, and the master would take a nail and drive it through the lobe of the servant's ear into the doorpost. The servant was now marked in a very pronounced way, very noticeable way. He was marked for the master. So this servant was to openly declare his life intention to serve the master. Now there are several things that this servant proclaimed. He proclaimed that he had been blessed by his master. Anyone who chose to stay with the master for the rest of his life, was that individual not saying, I've been blessed with this man? I've been blessed. In verse 5, he says, I will not go out free. In saying that, he was saying his master was a good man. And his master had been good to him. And though I can go out free, there's nothing better out there, because this man's been good to me. And so it is with the Lord. God is good. And he has been nothing but good to each one of us. We that are saved, he brought us out from death unto life. He came where we were in the prison house of sin, broke asunder the chains that held us, brought us out of light, darkness, into light, took us off the broad road that leads to destruction, saving us from eternal ruin. He forgave our sin, blotted it out, put it away, removed it, washing us from its filth. He reconciled us to Himself. He made us acceptable in His sight. And He said, you're going to be my son, you're going to be my daughter. And He made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And He made us citizens of heaven. And He's been an unfailing intercessor on our behalf. And He's always worked all things for our good. He's lavishly blessed us with undeserved goodness. He has every step of the way been our strength, our sufficiency, and our help. Oh, how blessed we've been and are by God. And every detail of our lives ought to declare, God's been good to me. Therefore, I will not go out free. I will not live my life apart from the one who has been so good to me. When that servant made his proclamation, I will not go out free, he was saying, this man has been good to me. There's no reason for me to leave. No child of God ever has a reason for leaving the Master. And if you think you do, you've lost your mind. You have no reason. The Lord asked His people that very question. There in the book of Jeremiah and again in the book of Malachi. What have I done to you? So we openly are to declare, He's been good to us. Secondly, the servant plainly declared his desire toward his master. After 6 years, the servant was brought to the place in his life where he must proclaim his desire for the rest of his life. He could leave. He could stay. But at the end of 6 years, he is brought to the place where he must, without coercion, without any other influence, state his aspiration for the rest of his life. State his determination. It happens. You raise children. You raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There comes a time in their life, without the influence of mom and dad, you have to state your intention for the rest of your life. You can go free. You think it's free. Or you can live the rest of your life under the authority of the Master. Many have made the wrong decision and have ruined not only their life, but the lives of others. He could go back to his former life, whatever it was. And no matter how good that former life might have been, it's better with the Master. You have to know that. This servant in our text, when he said, I will not go out free, he is saying, this is my Master. We need to openly proclaim that. Point to Jesus Christ and say, so all can hear, this is my Master. and I intend it to be so for the rest of my life. He was saying, this is my master, and I want to serve him for the rest of my life. Well, don't you need a year or two to find yourself? Don't you need a year or two to just live for yourself? This is my master, and I will serve him the rest of my life. Again, it was one or the other. You cannot go back and forth. I want to work for him. I want to do his bidding for the rest of my life. This is my master, and I prefer him over all others. I esteem him above all others, even above my own so-called freedom. When he said, I will not go out free, he was saying, this is my master. I refuse all others. He is the one that I will live the rest of my life identified with. I refuse to go my own way. I refuse. I refuse to go back to my old life. This is my master. Again, this isn't, once again, a weak thing. This is for the rest of his life. So he stands before the judges. He says, I have voluntarily chosen without any outside interference remain with my master for the rest of my life. I want to be surrendered to his government. I want to be under his rules. I want to be under his ways. And I want to serve his interests for the rest of my life. That's what this servant was declaring. And he did so without hesitation. And it is to be our desire, and it is to be openly declared. The Lord is my master, and I desire to be under his government. I desire to be under his rules. And I live to serve his interest. I desire to please him in all things. And it is my desire for the rest of my life to obey him, to honor him, and to glorify him. That's what we're to openly declare. Thirdly, the servant plainly declared his love for the master. Notice again, verse 5. The servant would plainly say, I love my master. I love my master. So he go before the judges, him and his master. And he would say, I want everyone here to know, I love my master. I love him. And because I love him, I'm going to stay with him the rest of my life. Because I love him, I want to serve him for the rest of my life. He was constrained by love for his master. It was as if he said, I love my master too much to leave him. I love him too much to leave him. You know, people all the time, they get out in sin and then they want to convince themselves, so they try to convince you. Well, you got to know that I love the Lord. Well, if you really love them, why, love them enough to get right. But this servant would say, I love my master too much to leave him. I love my master too much to stop serving him. I love my master. It was a love that caused him to be interested in his master's affairs. It was a love that drew him to his master. It was a love that filled him with passion and a yearning for his master. It was a love that was uninhibited. It was a love that made his master the priority of his life. Our lives ought to openly proclaim such. There should be no necessity to have to think about it. I love my master. And I say no to that which will lead me apart from my master. Fourthly, the servant plainly declared his acknowledgement of a debt of gratitude to his master. Again, look at verse 5. He says, I love my master, my wife, and my children. So this particular servant had married a wife who was given to him of his master. And they had children together. None of them could have been over 6. They had children together during those 6 years. And this servant recognized that all the blessings that he was enjoying had come from his master's hand. And that he owed everything to his master. Again, there is a great need today that God's people would realize, I owe everything. I owe everything to Him. To Him. There's a great need that that be declared without any hesitation. Without any bashfulness. I owe everything to Him. Said in such a clear way that nobody, after we've spoken, would say, well, I wonder what His intent is. It is to be so plainly declared that no one misunderstand. I owe everything to Him. This is my master. And all that I have, I owe to Him. He has so wondrously blessed me. And I voluntarily choose to remain with Him and serve Him. Because I'm grateful to Him. And for the rest of my life, I want to give the glory due His name. Servant also declared his love for others. He said, I love my master, I love my wife, and my children. Again, if he was married and had children after he became a servant, if he left, he had to leave wife and children behind. He said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I will stay. But it started with what? I love my master. It's not, I love my wife and my children and therefore I'll stay. That's not what it is. I love my master. And I love my wife and my children. So the servant's main motive for remaining with his master was because of his love for the master. But there were some others for which he must remain. And so it is for you and I. We ought to want to remain with the Lord for the rest of our life because we love Him. But also because there are others we love. And for the sake of my wife and my children, I cannot leave my master. You see, this decision just didn't involve himself. There were others that would be affected by which way he went that day. And we must realize that our life and our relationship with the Lord has a lasting effect and impact upon others. Upon others. The servant plainly declared his attachment to his master. That was done in the service of driving the piercing the servant's ear. The servant also plainly declared his commitment to his master. We read in verse 6, "And his master shall bring him unto the judges." And as they walked together, they eventually got to that doorpost of the judges. The nail was driven through the lobe of his ear. He was setting his life apart for the master. He was saying, "This day, I commit for the rest of my life. I commit myself to the master." He was pledging the rest of his life to the master. The Bible tells us that we are to be very careful making promises to God. But I believe that God's people ought to pledge for the rest of my life, I'm going to serve the Lord. Especially in these days in which we live, we need God's people to stand and proclaim very plainly, "I'm going to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. I'll need God's help, but that's my intent." The servant, as his ear was pierced, was saying, "Listen up, everybody. I want everybody to know that today I have freedom to return to my old life. But I want everybody to know I choose this man because I love him. I choose his house. I choose his rules and his ways for the rest of my life. I choose to be identified and associated with this man. That is my choice. Let the judges be my witness." Then he would put his ear up against the doorpost. But here was a man who is planning on serving God. We've preached on that before. Plan to serve the Lord. That ought to be our life plan. I plan on serving God, not fitting him in whenever it's convenient for me. But this is my plan. This is my life plan. I am going to serve God. Now think about this servant. His 6 years is up. Perhaps there were other servants who came in the same time he did. And their 6 years was up on the same day. And some of them perhaps chose to go free. But this man said, no matter what others are going to do, this is my plan. I'm going to serve my master for the rest of my life. We need to make personal examination. Are we willing to be branded for the Lord? Marked. Plainly marked for the Lord. So that everybody that sees us knows who our master is. Does our life proclaim to all? I love the Lord. Because I do, I will serve Him all my remaining days. You know, people make plans. They're going to do this, they're going to do that when they retire. All kinds of plans. Again, our plan ought to be, I'm going to serve the Lord. Everything else has to center around that. That's my plan. The people today, they plan on doing all kinds of things, and somehow the Lord gets left out. Oh, but they'll tell you, oh, you know I love the Lord. No, I really don't know that. I really don't. Our lives ought to explicitly proclaim the Lord is real to us. He's my friend. And I'm His friend. And I belong to Him. And I appreciate and I'm thankful for what He has done in my life. And that He's not just a part of my life. We ought to want everyone to know He is my life. He is the one that I want to identify with. People take this wrong all the time. But I do wish that many of God's people would be honest enough to stand up and declare to all, I have no intention of putting God first in my life. And I just want you all to know that. I wish God's people would be honest enough to say that, if that is their intention. But we, and there's many here, we ought to openly declare, and we have, many of us, He's my master. I want to serve Him. Not a perfect servant. Fail all the time, but He's a perfect master. And I don't know what the rest of my days entail, but whatever it is, I want to spend it with Him. Whatever the rest of your days entail, I guarantee you it's better to spend it with Him than apart from Him. So can we say with this servant, I prefer the one who saved my soul above all others. I prefer Him above family, job, pleasure, whatever. He saved my soul. And I prefer Him above all others. I refuse all other masters. You see, many have a problem because they can't seem to say no. You say no to God all the time, but they can't seem to say no to the world. But we not only need to say no, we need to say no, and let me tell you why. I love my master. He saved my soul. I will not leave him. I will not go back to my old life. But I have chosen to remain with him and to be identified with him. Again, not just for a few days, but for the rest of my life. Oh, that would be our open proclamation. None of us know. We don't know what today holds. Certainly don't know what tomorrow holds or next year. But none of that matters. None of it matters. None of it has any effect upon our life plan. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live for Him. Whatever happens in this country, whatever happens in my own little world, I'm going to serve Him. Just like in Joshua 23, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve Him. We won't do so perfectly, but we're going to serve the Lord. That's our intent. And I pray today that that would be the intent of each one who's here and saved. And if you're not saved, everything we've said really doesn't apply to you. Your need is salvation. You can't even think about serving the Lord until He saved your soul. We point you to the only Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. He's the only one who's appointed by God to save souls. He's the only one who can save souls. And He is the one that you need today. And He has promised that if you can come to Him, He will not cast you away. He will not turn you away. He'll save you right where you are. And if you're not saved, that is your greatest need this day. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.